Blog Talk Radio.
Our destiny is greatness, people. Why?
Because God did it.
Come on with it.
Talk to him.
Hey, they can eat in the morning.
You know why they yawning, Talk to him.
Come on, Eddie.
Get them out the way.
Come on.
Ain't got way about that.
We loosen the movement.
Lathoric.
It's happening. Colossal. Our destiny is greatness.
Talk to him.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Woo! That's right, baby. We are back. It is tear up. Nah, we don't tear up no more. It is Topic Tuesday, and I am ready to go today, baby. B. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is early Tuesday morning. We had a good time in the Lord last night over at Triumph Baptist Church for our youth and young adult revival. There was a word that was delineated from Minister Taya Smith. And my God, was it most poignant and was it most rich? But we're here. We're here, people, on Topic Tuesday on Nick and Eric in the morning. And I'm excited about it. I don't know where he is at. I don't know where he's at. That's the truth. I don't know where he is. And so I'm loose in the booth again. I'm loose in the booth one more time on a Tuesday. So y'all going to have to pray for me because y'all know on these days I get crazy. That's right. On these days I get crazy. Listen, the topic that we're talking about today is the right way to handle police brutality. How do we solve these issues, people? As we very well know, the news has been rife with social justice topics, Black Lives Matter movements, and now uprisings. I refuse to call them riots. I don't consider what we're seeing in Milwaukee and what we've seen in Baton Rouge and what we've seen in Missouri. I don't call those riots. I call them uprisings. They are responsive because people are tired of being tired and so as a result, these actions, these respondents are tired and they are responding the way that they are. And so we've got to do something. And what we're going to talk about today is what we're going to do. That's got to be the topic. What can we do to stop the police brutality that is rife throughout our communities, throughout this nation, and that seemingly dominates the African American race, the black culture, the colored folks, the minority, and so that's our topic today. What's really relevant, Simone Biles is unreal. That's what's relevant, you know. How could you have a show about topics and not mention the great Simone? If you didn't know her before, I bet you know her now because she has dominated the United States of America, and now she has dominated the entire world so that everyone can see. And I'm extremely grateful for multiple reasons. One, because it's on a stage where she can finally be recognized for the work that she's put in. It's nothing like putting in years and years of work and just not being recognized for it, it never being shown to the light. J. Cole says, it's supposed to be a moment, ain't it? And he says, but what good is being the one when you're the only one that knows it? And now we all know Simone's out here doing it. Michael Phelps is out here doing it, but he's been doing it with longevity. He's got 23 medals, and I think he's got, 14 team gold medals. You know, Michael Phelps is half man, half fish. There was a movie, Half Man, Half Amazing. He just come out with a movie, Half Man, Half Fish, and just let Michael Phelps star in it. He's just saving people lives in the water, just fighting sharks. Listen, I told you I get loose in the booth on Tarot Topic Tuesday, So never mind that. But yeah, shout out to the USA team. What's really relevant? Hillary is still up, I think, about 9 points against the other guy. You know how it's like a star, and then there's the other guys. That's how I feel about this whole presidential race, and that's why I refuse to say the other guy's name. He's relevant. I believe that this country is smarter and far better than that of which what is his name? The other guy. I know his name, people. I promise you, I do. I'm just not interested in saying it on our show anymore. We're far better than the morals and then the characteristics and the traits and principles that the other guy portrays. And so I'm convinced that it's just Miss Hillary running, the senator, Senator Hillary, I guess, Secretary Hillary running, and the other guys, whoever he is, in his multiple personalities, which is why I put on S. So that's what's really relevant. Let's go ahead. Let's jump into this topic. I won't keep you guys long. I understand, it's Topic Tuesday. We're going to give you this high-quality content, and we're going to get out your way. We're talking about police brutality, and the reason why we're talking about this topic, because in Milwaukee there has been an uprising because of slaying by another police officer, by another black person. And, you know, when things like this happen, and they happen profusely or religiously, peace and nonviolence is not easy. Now, granted, that is still the same way we need to respond. Granted, I am not condoning what is going on in Milwaukee to local businesses and local homes, nor the violence that takes place in these kind of uprisings towards police officers. But I must say that what is happening in Milwaukee is not esoteric. It is not something that have saw coming. As I said before, this is a result of people who are trying to be minimized to helpless, responding and saying, we will not be helpless. We will not settle for oppression. We will not settle for inequality. We will not settle for injustice. And if it means that the government has to spend extra money daily to get us the rights and safety and judicial system that is needed so that our black men, our black boys, and our black women and black girls can leave the house safely, can have an interaction with the police who are supposed to protect us, and not be concerned with whether or not we're going to live 5 minutes, 30 seconds, or the next day after the altercation or communication between the police officer and the person. And so the question we're asking this morning is, what can we do to stop this police brutality? And the one word that comes to mind, and it is the most poignant word that anyone can mention in this topic, and that is accountability. It's got to be more accountability, people. That is the first word I want to talk about. It's accountability. Here's the thing. I dare not get on this show and belittle the job of police officers. I will not do that. I know many police officers There was actually a police officer who opened up Youth Revival on Sunday night and was absolutely tremendous in the pulpit. I would dare not belittle the job of a police officer. They have to protect our lives while protecting their lives and do so with split-second decision-making skills. I dare not belittle that. I know that to be true, and I think what they do is necessary and tremendous. And like anybody in America, they too can make mistakes. I think this picture is much different if there was accountability. They too can make mistakes. The problem that we are seeing and that we have seen for thousands of years, whether it be KKK, that's right, I said it, whether it be the local sheriff's office, whether it be the local judicial system or the local court with the jury that looks like everybody in the local area except our kind, what we've seen is that there is no accountability for the mistakes of police officers. You can say that they are held accountable because they go through a judicial process, because they go through the reviews of the court. But there's something that goes on, Academy, among police officers, and it's called the silent blue. And that means that if I do something wrong, I'm just, oh, and my brother sees me do something wrong, then technically I didn't do anything wrong, because my brother ain't going to tell the government that I did something wrong, because they understand the magnitude of my job, and they also understand that it could be them tomorrow or maybe on the next stop. So therefore, if it's something called silent blue, then we can't have police officers reviewing whether or not a police officer made a mistake. That's absurd. We can't have a police officer shooting down a black man in broad daylight when he has no gun and he has his hands up in the air and he's being killed, and then we have more police officers go and review the case to see if it was any wrongdoing. That's a problem. You have to have an independent person, an independent party, one who is not affected by whether or not the police officer is indicted, but more importantly, is convicted. You have to have someone of an independent party reviewing the case, and thus this will allow for the silent blue to have no impact. But more importantly, it will allow for accountability for one's mistakes. I'm not saying throw every police officer in jail because of their mistakes, and I'm not even saying that every time a black person is shot down without a gun while they're not complying is wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there needs to be a system in place for us to feel comfortable, at least comfortable, with the idea that justice is being served, that a judicial process is being properly conducted. And we don't have that. We don't have that right now. We don't have the capability to feel comfortable. What we feel and what we know is that every time this happens, there is a system that takes place. There is a process that is that they go through. That there is actions that are conducted that are not beneficial to us as blacks, to us as a culture, to us as a society or a country. Because anytime you have a minority that's planning to be the majority in 2050 being treated like slaves or like they don't exist, being treated like the bottom of the barrel, then it's not good for anybody. It's not good for a country, a culture, or a people, and that is what we're seeing. And the only way to solve this whole thing is we got to be able to hold our police officers accountable. That's not to ostracize them. That's not to belittle what they do day to day, but it's just to hold them accountable for the mistakes that they made. If I go in on my job and I make a mistake, I'm going to be held accountable. And what we want is we want the same thing to happen to police officers. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm speaking ignorantly on the show, because I'm fully aware that they have hotlines that police officers are going to call into. I'm fully aware of this topic.
And I know that the majority of the calls that are called into on this hotline, this anonymous hotline, are by fellow officers who are calling in about their fellow officers. I completely understand that. But we're not talking about calling in. We're not talking about white-collar crimes. We're not talking about white-collar mistakes like running a red light or cursing out a civilian. We're not talking about those. We're talking about the killings of African-American males. We're talking about the killings of African-American men. I believe the statistic this year was that 23 people, or maybe this was last year, there were 23 cops that were indicted last year. I think this was in 2015. And of those 23 indicted police officers, only three were convicted. Now, those three that were convicted were all on camera, which means that there was no other way that these people could get out of what they got themselves into. In other words, out of that 23, only three were convicted. And that's out of the 23 that were indicted. All I'm saying is that I believe more than 23 should have been indicted. But on top of that, I believe that it's – let me ask you this. Do you believe that out of all the police shootings and the police stops last year that only 23 were done inaccurately, that only 23 deserved for a police officer to be indicted? Now, I get it. Police officers have a tough job. But you mean to tell me out of the thousands and thousands, of the hundreds of thousands of interactions and communications between police officer and civilian, that there are only 23 cases where the police officer was wrong? I think that's absurd. And I think it's erroneous and asinine for anybody to say that they believe that in this world called human error, that every human has the capability of committing. And you can't tell me that 23 cops, only 23 cops committed human error, and only three of them actually did it to a point where they needed to be convicted. And then on top of that, you can't tell me that those three cops that were convicted because of their video were the only three. Are you going to tell me that you mean to tell me that everybody that's making a stop who's not on video is perfect? Please. That's a joke. That's a joke. And all that speaks to is that we need to have more accountability and more – we need to hold our officers accountable for what they're doing to the civilians. We can't have the police the police. That don't even sound right. You cannot have the silent blue policing the silent blue. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to be said, and thus nothing's going to be done but injustice. That's why this uprising has happened. Whether right or wrong, it's time for change. The first way is accountability. The second way is, and these are obviously subjective, the rest of these ways, accountability is unanimous. The rest of my ideas are subjective. The first idea is the first idea is we have to have our police officers that are policing the community within the community. I believe that if you have the police officers who are policing the community, living in the community, it does two things. One, it helps the police officer to understand the structure and nature and culture of the community. That means he's participating in community service events, and there's reciprocity in the relationship. And what I mean by that is that the police officer understands the community, but the community understands the police officer. So thus, when the person of other color, it doesn't matter if the officer is white, black, brown, or yellow. If he's living in the community and if he's experiencing what's going on in the community, he has a different mindset when he polices that community because he knows the people. And so thus, when he pulls up in the car and he sees the kid coming out the corner store, he knows that he doesn't have a gun in his pocket, that he has Skittles. He has a previously relationship developed with this kid, so he can call him by name and let him know, listen, Tommy, you got to take your hand out your pocket. I know there's not a gun in there, but here's how the rules work. If you bring your hand out your pocket and there's something outside of Skittles in your hand, the law says that I have the right to shoot you. Listen, Tommy, I don't want to shoot you. I know you're a good kid, but you are not obeying and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Take your hand out your pocket slowly. Put your hands above your head. Turn around. Get down on the ground. This is relationship. This is policing in a community where you know the people, where you know the students, and where you're less likely to jump to conclusion because typically you know that this kid over here on the corner, he is a problem, and he does have a problem at home. Therefore, he does have an anger issue. He doesn't like the cops, but it's not that he's a bad kid. It's just that every day he's exposed to violence, and every day he's exposed to oppression because his mom can't make the ends meet, and his dad ain't never around. So therefore, your job is not only to be the police officer, but to try to set the example for the kid and say, listen, I know that you got it going on, that you don't got it going on. I know you got some stuff going on, but I'm here because somebody called me and said that you were threatening them, and I want to get to the bottom of it. So can you come over here and talk to me, and let's get to the bottom of this whole thing? That's how you police a neighborhood. I know that's not always the case. Like, I know it's not always that easy. I know you can't always, say that's going to work or that's the perfect situation. But in reality, if we can start working towards a policing that's not just I don't know you, you don't know me, I'm coming to set the record straight. That's relationship. That's conversational, that's reciprocity, because I live in the neighborhood and I have to, because I have to come here after I get off work, my policing is going to be a little more strategic. I'm going to be a little less violent because I know you, because we have a relationship, and now we're communicating. We're able to speak with a respect level because I know you without your uniform on. Or you know me, without the drugs in your hand. Or without the crime you just committed. So I think the first key, or I guess the second key after accountability, or holding our police officers accountable, is if we could get the police officers that are policing the community to live in the community, or not even just live, but to do community service in the area. Like, I don't think we have to confine them to living, if you're from Bensalem and you want to police in Philadelphia, I don't think you should not be able to do that because you live in Bensalem. But I do think that there should be a number of hours, community service, volunteer, so that you get to not only help the neighborhood without the suit on or without the uniform, but you get to build those relationships and understand the people and how they work and how they respond before you go in there trying to police everybody and tell everybody what to do.
Hey, bro.
I think my boy E done joined the show, y'all.
Bro, I've been on the line for about 10 minutes.
For 10 minutes?
I've been on the line for about 10 minutes. Yeah, you've been really, really doing your thing here, really, really firing off and really, really giving concrete ideas and concrete solutions, as opposed to, of course, accountability, which is definitely key. Now, I thank you, bro. Now, I've been going through a lot in the mornings with West Coast time and jet lag and getting back used to getting up in the morning. I haven't quite been myself in the mornings recently, which is my fault. I apologize to all of our listeners. I'm still here. There's no need to fear. Your fantasy football champion is still here. I apologize for the miscommunications of late. Now, I want to thank you so much, bro, for what you're doing here. And I mean, the thing is, you had more ideas. Like, I pop up and you said, yeah, idea number one. And now this is idea number two, and I'm saying, wait a second, here, did the show just start or what? Now, first of all, I was in the airport and I ran across Cory Booker's book called United, and we know Cory Booker, the former mayor, the former mayor in New Jersey, and yeah, he always speaks about unity. He always gives out the quote when he speaks publicly. He did it at the DNC when he said that if you want to go fast, go alone, and if you want to go far, go together. He also said that quote when he was giving a commencement speech at Hampton University. And the thing is, and I've said this time and time again, our nation politically and locally is being divided piece by piece, year by year. And division is the work of the devil, which is why Obama knows simply, if not for any other reason than the fact that we were built on things like "In God We Trust," and we were built on with a religious foundation going in one direction, and that direction was unity, which is why Jim Crow laws had to go, and which is why riots like this, like the ones we saw this past weekend in Milwaukee, had to go, and it's why segregation had to go, and why Selma Hatman and the Edmund Pettus Bridge and voting rights had to be given to everyone, because unity is what's going to get us from here to there. Unity is what's going to get us to one place, and what's going to get us there together, and what's going to get us there focused on the same thing, and what's going to get us there as a happy unit. And that's what we're talking about here, and that's the heartbeat to the lifeblood of that second idea that you had, that they need to know us and we need to know them. Because I got to be honest with you, I cringed at the idea of discussing this. I mean, I don't want to do it anymore, and it sucks, because we know that part of the solution is dialogue. Part of the solution is not being afraid to talk about this, but how many times have we talked about it? And at the same time, if we're going to talk about it, we're not going to talk the same way we've talked before. We're going to have new dialogue. We're going to talk about solutions. Our talk has to become more and more deliberate. With each time that these kind of things happen, our discussion and our words and our thoughts need to become more cerebral. And it's tough because we didn't necessarily sit idly by a few months ago when Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Minnesota happened with Castile and Sterling. We were angry then. We had actions then. We did things. But apparently those things weren't concrete enough. But we'll get there, and I know we'll get there. The most important thing is that we do not give up and that we remain united. Because the biggest thing that the devil will try to do to our nation, especially with Donald Trump running, is he will try to convince us that we're not united, thus dividing us even further. But the truth of the matter is that we are united enough to stay united. We are united enough to have something to build upon when things like this happen. And I mean, that's just what I think we need to take into this into these times mentally, in order to get things done like what Nick would like to see done with a better relationship and whatever other goals we need to get done. But we do need to get them done, and we need to get them done politically. And it definitely starts in November with the election, and then it continues. It doesn't stop in November. No, it continues with our local elections, and it continues with our local politics and with our local policies, which we can all help out with, we all have a council person. We all have a mayor who are much more tangible, much more visible than our presidents, who matter more locally than our presidents, because these are guys who fight for us, and these are the people who make
amendments to the local decrees and local doctrines, like the things that Nick has proposed, and like the things that we all would like to see done. So let's do that. Let's stay active. Let's stay united. And let's stay hopeful. And we'll find a way to get through this as we find ways to get through everything. So go ahead, bro. I don't know if you have anything
I think one point that I was going to make, and I won't go through all of them, but just because of time. But one point that I wanted to make was, listen, people, there's a lot of people who are tired of marching, I think the reason why we're tired of marching is because we don't know what we're marching for. You can't march for just a conviction. Because, see, when you march for a conviction and it doesn't happen, you fail. You feel like you failed. But if you're marching for incremental change, which means that you're in it for the long haul, that you're marching to see a bigger picture, then you're not tired of marching. You understand that it's not going to happen overnight. There's no switch out there that's going to be flipped by us killing another police officer or by us burning down someone's front store business. There's no action that's going to happen that's going to say, tomorrow we can worry no more about police brutality, about injustice in our communities. There's not an action that's going to happen. But when you're marching and when you're doing these things, when you're having these uprisings, it has to be done with the fact in mind that this is going to start the dialogue. This is going to provoke the conversation. This is going to get them to sit down at the table. And now that you've got them sitting down at the table, you have to have ideas and facts and statistics to support those ideas of why they are right and why they are going to work. And that is where we are. The government is willing to listen. They have to be. Hillary Clinton doesn't get a second term if she's not willing to sit down and address these topics in her first 4 years. So thus, we have to understand that our marching is not in vain unless we sit down at the table without a plate, without a fork, without a knife, without a handkerchief or a napkin, and unless we sit down at the table with no idea what we're sitting there for, then that's when it goes in vain. But I don't believe that we're going to do that because we have tremendous leaders and we have tremendous passion. We have a tremendous vision, and we understand that we are going somewhere. We have been for 200 years. We're going somewhere, and we're going to get there whether they hold us down or whether they try to hold us back. The mindset has to be, I'm in this for the long haul, and no matter what it takes, no matter what they do, I'm moving forward. I'm getting past it. I'm going to work towards equality. I'm going to work past being the majority, and I'm going to work past doing it like no one's ever did it before. And if each individual has that mindset and has that understanding of why we're marching and why we're having uprisings, like I said, because I don't want to call them riots, then it won't be in vain. In fact, there we will see impact, and when we wake up 10 years, 20 years from now, we'll be able to say that we did it. Yes, we can. Yes, we will. And yes, we did.
That's good. That's good. You fired up, bro. I love you, man. You did about 20 minutes by yourself and weren't done. I said, am I supposed to cut him off or what?
You know, I'm glad you did though, because these topic Tuesdays ain't easy, brother.
Shit, you could have fooled me.
Oh man!
But man, I'm here. Oh my goodness, I am here. I'm starting to get like my co-host on on my Wednesday radio show. That's I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know what's going on.
Nah, you good, bro.
I love the way you concluded. Yes, we did, because we did, and that's what people forget. We did, and we will again. You concluded that the right way. We're moving on for now. Because this is something that we unfortunately, but hopefully, we'll still have to continue to have open dialogue about. I have tons of great ideas for new Topic Tuesdays. In the meantime, we were dealing with politics, we're dealing with religion, we're dealing with a bunch of good stuff. We got 2 months left. Topic Tuesday is going to be amazing from here on out. Now, I heard you ask me a question. Tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
We have on Wednesday, before the commencement of our Back to School series. Teacher of 11th and 12th grade, a devoted and avid, how should I say this, a biblical connoisseur, Bible study guru. I mean, a Bible, Bible expert, okay? She knows the Lord, and she knows the doctrine, and she knows what she loves to teach, and she knows what she loves to preach, and she knows that her relationship with God fuels her. It fuels her life. It fuels her teaching high school, and it fuels many of us to have a better relationship with God as well. She's preaching youth revival right now at Triumph Baptist Church this week. You can catch her tonight. This is Tuesday. You can catch her tonight, Tuesday night, 8:15, and tomorrow night at 8:15. And you can catch her tomorrow morning on Who We Got Wednesday, Minister Taya Smith. I can't wait. We're going to have a talk about faith. We're going to have a talk about how to make your faith. First of all, how to know if your faith is unconditional.
Yeah, that's a good topic right there, good brother. That's a high-quality topic.
Oh, yeah.
That's a high-quality topic.
Listen, I'm about rep for Minister Taya, and I think if I end the show quicker, we get to her faster. So I'm going to go ahead and get up out of here. We gave you a lot to consume this morning, but one thing we'd like you to make sure that you get to, make sure that you digest, is this destiny thing. And the fact is that your destiny is greatness. Your destiny, my destiny, and Eric's destiny, it's greatness, and it's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's not because of us. It's not because of E. It is because of who? Come on, good brother.
God did it.
That's right, baby. Our destiny is greatness because God did it. We'll see y'all Who We Got Wednesday tomorrow morning with Minister Taya Smith. It shall be rich. I'll holler.
Yes.